I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Eileen Keller. Dr. Keller is the director of the Fifth Third Bank Entrepreneurship Institute at Northern Kentucky University. And Eileen, I think you've been at Northern Kentucky University for a while as a professor, but you've been in this role for about a year. And you direct the Entrepreneurship Institute. Maybe you can just explain what the difference is between an institute and just an entrepreneurship major.
Sure. Thanks, Tom. The Entrepreneurship Institute is designed to give entrepreneurship students, both majors and minors, co-curricular activities that extend their learning and their skill development beyond what they can get from a traditional classroom setting. And so the Institute just kind of fortifies what it is that we do as we teach the students in the classroom.
Well, could you give me an example of what some of those activities or skills might be?
Sure. This month, in the month of February, we have two huge events. One is the Griggs Family Foundation Business Plan Competition. So we have students from Miami University, University of Cincinnati, Xavier, and NKU who will present their business plans in front of an audience of venture capitalists, business people, and entrepreneurs to determine which of them has the best plan. The skill behind that is that the students have had to actually develop that plan from scratch. So these are their own ideas. They put together a team of other students, and together they persist through the process of developing that idea and having it critiqued and so forth. So that's one big event. The other big event this month is the Master Entrepreneur Program. And every year, our students research the regional entrepreneurs and determine who is best qualified to be called a master and be honored in that way. And this year, we're really very excited to honor Bob Castellini. He has started multiple companies, is wildly generous to our region, and has given back in a very powerful way to help develop Northern Kentucky and Greater Cincinnati.
What he's done to give back to the community is very impressive. Is that one of the things you're hoping to impart to your students?
Yes, and in fact, that's part of our definition of a master. You know, is the person who is original, innovative, and generous in terms of the give back.
Do you think entrepreneurship is something that can be learned, or obviously you do or you wouldn't be in your position, but versus people who are just born entrepreneurs?
That's always hotly debated. And personally, yes, I believe that even some people that may seem extremely unlikely can become very successful entrepreneurs. So there's people out there that have natural abilities that are going to do that more easily and more readily. You know, we all have talents and some of them are stronger than others, but our talents can be developed. We're trying to develop that student so that they can maximize what they're able to do.
And really, even if they don't go out and start their own business, you can use entrepreneurship skills in a large corporation these days just as well.
Absolutely. And many large corporations are looking for that in students.
Well, maybe you can tell us a little bit about some of the companies that help support your Entrepreneurship Institute.
I mentioned already the Griggs Family Foundation, Roger Griggs, and he owns a company called Union Springs and has had several other successful companies. Fifth Third, we are the Fifth Third Entrepreneurship Institute. Obviously, we are in existence because of their ongoing and full support. Castellini's and Castellini Foundation have always been helpful and very generous with us. Cincy Tech, Dinsmore, GCVA, the Greater Cincinnati Venture Association, is always very helpful to us as well.
If people want to know more information about the Northern Kentucky University Entrepreneurship Institute, what's the contact information?
The easiest way is ei.nku.edu.
For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Eileen Keller. Dr. Keller is the director of the Fifth Third Bank Entrepreneurship Institute and is also an associate professor at Northern Kentucky University. And Eileen, as the Entrepreneurship Institute's name would imply, you work with students at Northern Kentucky University to help them develop entrepreneurship-type skills. What are some of the skills that you hope to see them develop as they matriculate through the university?
Well, Tom, we start out with a basic. They have to be creative. Obviously, if you're going to start your own business, you have to have a creative mind that can tackle problems that are relevant in the marketplace. And that's a lot. I mean, when you think the typical student is between 18 and 21, be creative, be relevant, understand the marketplace. That alone is quite a task. The other thing that we strive to do with students is to apply that creativity to problem solving, so that as they persist in their goals and their drive to be an entrepreneur, that they're able to overcome the hurdles that will inevitably be in their way. We talk a lot about pivoting. And so that is the ability to have a solid understanding of what you want to do, but also be fluid and agile in your ability to change and adjust that as needed based on what you learn as you try to develop this business. So there's a long list of skills, but boy, if we could get a lot of students to be very competent at those things, as we gain that, we're extremely happy.
Yeah, I would think they'd be pretty successful. I know one of the things that you do is you have your business plan competition.
Yes.
And do any of those business plans evolve into an actual business starting?
We've had some very exciting developments in that area. Last year, we had several teams that went from our business plan competition to Idea State U, which is a Kentucky statewide business plan competition with 8 universities. And to the best of my knowledge, 2 of those teams are still persisting and pursuing those businesses. And they won when we were at Idea State U, so they actually had some capital to get those things going. So yes, sometimes they do.
Well, that's got to be really exciting. And it's got to be exciting for the students to not only just have an idea and be able to present it, but actually be able to take it to the next step and maybe even start a business or at least get some funding to take the idea further.
Absolutely.
Well, Eileen, we are out of time today. But if people want more information about the Entrepreneurship Institute, what's the contact information?
The easiest route is ei.nku.edu.
For BusinessWise, this is Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Crystal, we've often talked about the problems that American consumers have in general with credit card debt, how important it is to try to eliminate that or reduce it and pay off those high-rate credit cards. But it's not unique to individuals. There's a lot of small businesses out there that have credit card debt that's pretty expensive. In fact, the average small business credit card has a $12,000 balance, and typically that interest rate on that is somewhere between 12 and 21%. So it's very expensive borrowing.
It is. It's extremely expensive borrowing. So it's just not a good long-term plan to carry balances from month to month on your credit card. The better option would be to develop a line of credit, a relationship with a bank, a more traditional type of loan, which comes generally at a much lower interest rate.
Yes, and in my experience, what's happened with small businesses typically is they have credit card debt because that's the easy debt to get. That's the easy credit to get. But they need to take the next step and line up a bank, get a line of credit, get overdraft protection, get whatever they can get in terms of a line of credit and start building that up. That's going to be much less expensive than the credit card.
It is. And a lot of it just becomes taking the time to develop a relationship with a banker, know what criteria, what lending requirements that your banker is going to want from you, then start taking steps and action to be able to do whatever it takes to get that line of credit. Because as you mentioned, many small businesses, especially those that are young, use the credit card first because they can't get any other type of credit. But the key is then to graduate from that type of debt to a more traditional debt that's certainly a lot less expensive.
Well, and the key is to develop a relationship with your banker, let them understand your business, help them understand your business, help them understand why you need a line of credit. The reason's got to be for something besides funding a loss and probably funding your salary. It's got to be to fund an opportunity for your business to grow and make more money.
And certainly, before you approach any banker, have some type of a business plan, some type of a projection. Make sure that you have a good story to tell and allow your banker to take some ownership in the idea. A banker is a critical part of your team. And sounds self-serving, but in addition to a banker, an accountant, an attorney, because bankers get a little more confidence in a business owner when they've surrounded themselves with advisors that help them understand better how to grow their business profitably.
Well, and just like an individual has to build their credit history, a business has to build theirs. So you can use financing, equipment financing, to help build your credit record to give you credibility with the banker.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Crystal, a lot of people right now are thinking about doing their tax return for 2012, but some people are also concerned maybe about their 2011 tax return, which they've already filed, but maybe in the process of getting audited. People are always wondering what are red flags that they should be concerned about with regard to an audit. You know, what should they avoid doing so they lessen their chance of being audited? Because even if you have nothing to hide, an audit is a hassle and usually a cost.
It is a hassle. And, you know, by and large, the majority of audits are just random. I mean, bottom line, the IRS just randomly chooses tax returns to be audited. But there are certain things that you may want to think about as you do prepare your current year return to minimize the chance that you'd raise up your flag and say, hey, come take a look at my tax return.
Well, there's some things that elevate your chance of getting audited, some of which you want, like if you make too much money. Well, I'd be willing to make too much money and take that chance of getting audited. If you do that, just make sure you have good documentation of everything you do, because it is more likely that you'll be audited. Self-employment is a big trigger for audits. You know, if you're filing a Schedule C on your tax return, your chances of getting audited go up considerably.
Well, and that's because when you do report your business income on a Schedule C, because of experience, the IRS has found that many people inflate their expenses. And it's critical to make sure that you have documentation for those expenses, because I can guarantee you, if your tax return does get pulled for audit, they're going to want to see the documentation. Specifically, where they're going to go first, for the most part, is meals and entertainment, travel, those types of things. You have to make sure that every dollar you're claiming is documented, because if it's not, it's just a matter of time until they audit you and you get nailed for it.
Yes, and if you take the position that every meal that you pay for at a restaurant is a business entertainment expense, the IRS may challenge that.
Also, if you are in a business where you collect cash as a part of your receipt of revenue and compensation, make sure you report all your income, even if you don't get a 1099, because this isn't rocket science. When an IRS agent comes and audits you, they're going to look at what you put into your bank account. They're going to look at your lifestyle. They're going to look at all of the ways that you spend your money. And if your expenses are far greater than what they're seeing as income, they're going to question that. So it's a real issue for people who fail to report income.
Well, and the real key is to have a good accounting system. Have a segregated bank account. Keep track of your income and your expenses. I mean, you say a lot of people inflate their expenses when they're preparing their return or getting their information for the return. I think in many cases, they don't necessarily inflate them. They just don't document them very well.
So you just have to make sure that you have good records, because certainly you want to be able to take every deduction that you're entitled to, and we're all for that. Just make sure you keep a record.
Well, another little trigger that'll get, if not an audit, at least a notice from the IRS, is if you happen to claim a dependent that someone else claims. And that actually happens quite a bit, usually by mistake. You may claim your child and they file their own tax return and claim themselves. So get straight on that with your dependents to make sure that only one human is claiming each human being.
Yes, and don't forget about foreign bank accounts. Failure to report a foreign bank account or an investment can lead to severe penalties. I mean, really big dollars.
Well, and make sure your deductions are consistent with your income. You know, it looks a little odd if you have a $40,000 contribution deduction and you've made $50,000 for the year.
Again, we're all about claiming all the deductions you're entitled to. The key here is just to make sure that your records document all of those expenses. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Leanne Hamilton. Leanne is the business editor of the Cincinnati Enquirer and Cincinnati.com. And Leanne, you're one person who's in tune with what's going on in this region from a business perspective, and certainly downtown. And there's a lot of exciting things going on downtown now.
Downtown, a lot is going on. The Banks certainly is booming with the entertainment and residential areas that are expanding every day. Then just a little bit to the north of that, Dunnhumby just started breaking ground for its new world headquarters in downtown Cincinnati at that famed corner of 5th and Race.
Well, and I recently read in the Enquirer
that
there are some new apartments going to be opening up in the 580 building. I guess it's going to be converted to apartments also.
Yes, that's another piece of news that we just broke this week.
And then I guess the casino is coming on stream soon, and that's going to create another lot of excitement downtown, I would think.
The casino is scheduled to open on March 4th. When it does, it will be open 24/7, continuing operations throughout the holidays, no breaks whatsoever. They expect 6 million visitors a year.
And they expect them to leave a lot of their money behind, don't they?
Well, that's what they're hoping. We'll see whether the actual revenues come in as have been projected. They're hoping that on an annual basis, once the casino is really up and running, that about $100 million will come in tax revenue.
They also have a little different configuration than a lot of casinos, don't they? The restaurants are, as I understand it, going to be accessible without having to go into the deep into the casino to get to them.
The whole idea, according to the developers from the beginning, has been to integrate the casino into the downtown area. There are three restaurants that will be accessible from the street. Two of them have been identified. They are Jack Binion's Steak and Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. A large other restaurant area is still to be determined.
Besides what's going on downtown, we also had some news recently at the airport, which was exciting to those of us who like to fly, and that is that there's a discount airline coming to CVG.
It's Frontier Airlines. They'll be coming in on May 17th, offering round-trip daily flights 6 days a week to Denver International Airport.
It's really only one flight at this point, isn't it?
It is. It's one flight a day. It's it leaves in the morning and is scheduled to allow business people to fly out in the morning and then fly back to Cincinnati in the evening after having conducted business out west.
And I guess the hope is that either they will expand their offering or other discount airlines will come in, because we still have amongst the highest prices for airfare in the nation, don't we, out of CVG?
The last report that I saw out of the Transportation Department was for the third quarter of last year, and CVG ranked, I believe, number 2 in the nation for highest fares, which actually was an improvement, because for the 5 quarters before that, we'd been number 1.
Well, I guess that's a little bit of progress anyway. Well, Leanne, thanks for the information today, and we look forward to talking with you again tomorrow to hear about more of the business things that are going on in this region. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Leanne Hamilton. Leanne is the business editor at the Enquirer and at Cincinnati.com. And Leanne, we've had some pretty good news on the business and really the investment front recently with regard to P&G. You know, Procter & Gamble's been through a little bit of turmoil in recent times. They had an activist investor take a position in the stock last summer. But recently, the stock has hit some new highs. And that's good news, I think, for a lot of people in this region, because they have a lot of employees and a lot of investors.
You're absolutely right about that, Tom. Procter & Gamble may be just the most widely held stock in our region, held by most, if not all, of the 12,000 local employees and untold thousands of retirees who make their residences still in the region.
You're not a prognosticator of a company's stock price, do you think the progress they've made is going to continue? Are they doing things to make the company continue to move forward?
By all accounts, I think that investors can be cheered by what's going on at Procter & Gamble. The most recent accounting that we did of the analysts who cover Procter & Gamble was pretty optimistic. 11 of those investors expect that the stock is really worth right now between $80 and $88. It's priced right now at about $75.76. One analyst actually even predicted that it could go as high as $100 by the end of the year.
Well, let's hope he's right. And, you know, speaking of Procter & Gamble, they're known a lot for their management and their leadership. And I've noticed that the Enquirer has been focusing on leadership as one of the areas that you focus on, particularly with Josh Pickler's column. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about how Cincinnati in general is doing in the leadership area.
I think that we have decided that leadership and business approaches to problems is an area that is well worth pursuing in these days and times.
And don't you think leadership is something that people aren't necessarily born with? They can learn to be leaders, particularly if they have some role models?
Well, I certainly hope so. What we are learning from some of the executives that we've been interviewing, including the likes of Jack Cassidy, who just as you know, stepped down as CEO from Cincinnati Bell, and others of his stature, are that they are very deliberate about how they go about leading their companies and motivating their employees.
Are we going to be able to look forward to seeing more stories about local leaders in the Enquirer in the months to come?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is our main thrust. And Josh Pickler has lots of connections out in the community. I certainly hope and expect that you'll be reading more and more.
If our listeners want more information about the Enquirer, where's the best place for them to go?
Probably the best place to go is to pick up a newspaper, or certainly go to cincinnati.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Brian Calkins. Brian is the president and founder of HealthStyle Fitness. And Brian, you've started your own HealthStyle Fitness business. You kind of live it and breathe it. You do it. If people could see you, they could tell that you're into fitness. But one of the things that I think is a little bit unique about what you do is that you actually guarantee that your clients will be satisfied with their results or they get their money back.
That's exactly right. We feel very confident in our system. It involves, obviously, the exercise, but also nutrition. And so we guarantee that if clients follow our nutrition success guide, show up to all their workouts, and they don't get the results or the goals that we set together at their consultation, that we'll refund their money 100%.
Do you find that more people are interested in fitness today than they were 5 or 10 years ago?
I do see that. I think as our society becomes a little bit more sedentary and technology increases, there's a greater need for people to move their bodies. Same thing could be said for nutrition. The portion sizes continue to grow every year. And so people are starting to really recognize that they need to do something now. Otherwise, 10 years from now, they could be in a pretty tough spot.
Well, what are some of the services and programs you offer for your clients?
Well, we have two separate offerings. One is at our fitness studio in Norwood, and there we offer full-service customized training. It's a membership-based program where every time you come in, you're actually working with a trainer. And then we also offer outside of our studio a program called Adventure Bootcamp for Women, and there are 6 locations throughout Greater Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, and Southern Dayton.
And you get those women up pretty early, I know, because Crystal participates in your boot camp. Do they all start that early?
There's only one time for Adventure Boot Camp for Women. It's 5:30 in the morning. And we find that that's the perfect time for women. If they are professionals, it gives them time to get back home, take a shower, and get to work. If they're moms, it gives them time to get their workout in before the kids wake up, and then they can come home, get the kids ready for school, and begin their day.
It's hard to get out of bed that early, but it's really good to be at 6:30 and you've already got your exercise in for the day.
It does. It's a great way to start the day with a bunch of energy and feeling good.
What convinced you to start HealthStyle Fitness?
Well, growing up, I've always had a passion for exercise and sports. And I didn't realize that it would actually translate into a career until I tried a different career and was miserable. And so I spent some time thinking about what it is that I wanted to do. And everything kept coming back to fitness, coach. And so I made that leap about 14 years ago.
Well, I think it would be very rewarding. I'm sure you've got a lot of examples of people that have turned their lives around because they've become more fit from where they were when they started your program.
It's exceptionally rewarding to watch people who, when they come in, they've tried exercise and weight loss and fitness maybe 10 or 12 times, and they finally are now on the path or have reached the goals that they set for themselves. And just to get the stories from them is exceptionally rewarding.
Well, Brian, I know besides your workshops and your personal training, you also provide people a lot of information. If people listening want more information about you or HealthStyle Fitness, what's the best contact info?
The easiest way to find us is on the web at cincinnatifitness.com. They can also call us at area code 513-407-4665.
Well, Brian Calkins with HealthStyle Fitness, thanks for the information. We'll continue our conversation tomorrow. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Brian Calkins. Brian is the president and founder of HealthStyle Fitness. And Brian, you're the mastermind behind the Adventures Bootcamp for Women, where you somehow convince literally hundreds of women to get up and start exercising at 5:30 in the morning, several mornings a week. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that. Where is the bootcamp located?
We currently have six locations in Oakley, Anderson, Blue Ash, Bridgetown. We are opening a new location in Liberty Township in Westchester and Springboro. And then a seventh location in Florence will be reopening here shortly. So the program, I think, is a really special one in that it combines nutrition education, 20 workouts over a four-week period. People can come to anywhere from 12 to 20 of those workouts. The workouts are constantly changing so that it's constantly confusing the muscles so that women have the best opportunity to make a positive change. And it also comes with a daily email filled with more education and inspiration and some motivation.
Well, and as I understand it, you have a variety of levels of fitness of people that start the boot camp. Hopefully they all end up very fit, but they don't have to be very fit to begin it.
That's a great point. We have most women who start are out of shape. And so we do things for a time period, maybe 30 seconds. We'll do an exercise so that somebody who's been doing the boot camp for 2 years, they may go a little bit quicker. They may use a little bit heavier weight. Somebody who's just starting out is going to rest when they need to rest, use a little bit lighter weight, slow down when they need to, and take some rest.
And that's how you're able to fit in people, because you have to motivate the fit people as well as the ones that aren't quite there yet.
That's exactly right. It's a challenge, but a challenge we love. You know, we love to design the program so that somebody who just completed a marathon is stimulated as well as somebody who may have 100 pounds to lose and hasn't exercised in 20 years.
You know, from a fitness standpoint, is aerobic fitness more important than strength training and core strength, or are they all just as equally important?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if you asked 10 experts, I would think they would all have their preference. But in my opinion, both of them, you look at cardiovascular conditioning and strength training, they're equally important. My preference, I like to run. So the cardio is a little bit more rewarding for me, but they're both very, very important.
And I assume in the boot camp, you do both. You do both aerobic and strength.
We do. And we really try to maximize the hour we have together with the boot campers each morning. So we'll combine three or four exercises in a row that are strength primarily, but we're using compound movements, complex movements, and all that really means is working lots of muscles at one time. So it also will elevate the heart rate. So even if it seems like we're just doing strength training, we're also getting some good cardio in. And then toward the end, we always finish with a fun cardiovascular type of exercise as well.
Brian, if people want more information about HealthStyle Fitness or the Adventure Bootcamp for Women, where should they contact you?
For more information on Adventure Bootcamp, they can go to cincybootcamp.com. That's C-I-N-C-Y bootcamp.com. Or they could call us at area code 513-406-4665.
Well, Brian, thanks for being our guest today. You're listening to Business Wise. I'm Tom Cooney with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Tim Schigel. Tim is the CEO and founder of Share This, which is the very well-known sideways V that we all see on websites. But Tim, we're here today to talk to you about your new role as the manager of the Centrifuge Venture Fund. You just announced recently that you've raised $40 million. You're going to use that to leverage up to $100 million to invest in high-potential growth companies.
Yeah, it's very exciting for this region, and it came out of a lot of planning by a lot of the city leaders. It's actually technically a fund of funds that's going to invest in other venture funds, and the idea is to get some leverage, meaning we want to attract other high-profile investors from around the country to recognize and see the capabilities of Cincinnati and to make investments in Cincinnati companies here or start up new companies in Cincinnati to take advantage of the ecosystem here. So the idea is to get that leverage, to really magnify the power of the money that we're raising. And we have some of the top firms in the area are participating as investors in that fund.
Tim, it seems like you raised that $40 million pretty quickly. Now, maybe it didn't seem like that to you at the time, but you must have inspired these investors that besides being a good investment, it's a really good thing for the community.
Yeah, I'd love to take credit for that. But the timing worked out pretty well. I still have a lot of work to do, but really there are a lot of hard work by a lot of people put this all in motion before me. So the timing just happened to work out really well. But I can tell you is the momentum for it is certainly there, and it just continues to build.
You mentioned the big corporations who really were behind this movement to create Centrifuge to help fund the $40 million. Maybe you can share about why big corporations like Procter & Gamble, Cincinnati Children's Hospitals are behind Centrifuge.
Sure. And this is the exciting part. We're actually doing something that the team will tell you that didn't set out to do something new. They set out to say, how can we leverage what we have? And in the course of doing so, I think came up with something really new and innovative. And it's part of what attracted me to it. It's a new model that we're starting to see people in the industry even point to Centrifuge already as something called innovation capital, which is we're bringing together seed and angel investors to invest in ideas and those early stage venture capital firms and then corporate venture and tying it together and adding value to it. So Centrifuge really has two components to it. There's Centrifuge, the nonprofit, which is going to have space to include the brandery and other investors and other early stage companies. And then there's the fund itself. So it's the combination of those two components that come together to build something unique. And the idea is that there just needs to be better coordination and networking. Mm-hmm. So the idea is it's a very open sort of system. What the planners realized was we don't need to duplicate things that are already working really well. We already have more than our fair share of seed and angel capital in this region versus the national average. But we need more choices of capital for startups, because not everybody says yes. You usually get 10 no's before you get to a yes.
And you mentioned the startups because it is all about creating jobs. Is part of this to be able to have this fund so that when someone does think about where they want to start their great idea, they choose Cincinnati?
I think there are some great success stories, but we need more. This is, you know, partly a volume game because we know the odds. So we need a lot more activity happening. I actually also just joined the board of a company here in town called Dotloop. And Dotloop's basically transforming the way real estate is done. We can literally do transactions with agents on your iPhone. And Austin Allison, the CEO founder, was just on the cover of Entrepreneur magazine about 2 months ago. And he attracted, his main investor is Trinity Ventures from the West Coast. So they didn't care that he was in Cincinnati. They saw a great idea, right? That's the most important thing. But the company's now recognizing that Cincinnati is a competitive advantage because they opened up a San Francisco office and an office here. They're able to find great talent here without the cost of the West Coast, and it's working out well.
And if folks wanted to learn more about Centrifuge, Tim, the website is?
Centrifuge, CINTRIFUSE.com.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Tim Shiggle. Tim is the founder and CEO of Share This and also the manager of the Centrifuge Venture Fund that recently announced that they raised $40 million. And Tim, a lot of people look and think, why do we need another fund and another facility to help startups and first stage businesses in this area? We've got the circuit, we've got Hamilton County Development Center. You have a host of different types of services. Where do you fit in this landscape?
Sure. Well, the city leaders identified a number of different capabilities that we have that were in place, but not necessarily sufficient. One of the things they found was there wasn't enough coordination between these different groups. In terms of the funding, you know, there are stages of funding for any company, from the angel investor, right, the friends and family, to venture firms, venture capital firms, to banks, et cetera. And so think of those as layers of investment capital. And we do a really good job at the front end, at that earliest stage where Queen City Angels and Cincy Tech often play. Where we are behind, significantly behind other cities like us, is in the venture capital stage, particularly the early stage venture capital, which is considered the first and second major institutional rounds in a company. That's where we don't have enough options. We don't have enough money coming into this area. So that's another one of the challenges that needed to be addressed. And so by putting together this fund, which is really a fund of funds, meaning that we're going to seek out other venture funds around the country, as well as some of the ones in the region, and we're going to put money in their funds and create incentives for them to participate in our region. And one of the things we're going to use for that, this is another key component of the strategy, is access to our strategic investors, which are Procter & Gamble and Kroger and, you know, all the big players in the area.
What do you say to the longstanding company who has a great business and maybe they have an idea? They can leverage things they're already doing, and maybe they're not a, quote, startup from the gate, but maybe an idea that they have is a startup type of an idea. Would they also be a candidate for this type of funding?
Could be. I mean, what we're trying to do with Centrifuge is we want them to know that Centrifuge is there, and they say, I don't know where to go. Where do I go first? We want to help be the navigators, the guides, to say, you know what, maybe you're not a good fit for this organization or this one, but you are a good fit over here, and give them some confidence that they know where they're going and know that our agenda is only to make sure that they succeed.
But my point, too, is, so let's just say you have a company that's been around for 25 years. They know how to stay in existence. They've got management. They'd like to maybe take their company to the next level, maybe use some technology to take their products or services out there.
Great. So in that example, perhaps we'll work with University of Cincinnati, who has unbelievable amount of IP that they've developed. They rank very high in the country in terms of how much IP they generate, how many patents they file for, but they rank very low in terms of how much dollars they receive for that IP. So they're looking for ways to license their technology. So the first thing I'd say to that entrepreneur is, hey, let's go over here to UC and let's see what they have to offer and see if there's something that could transform your business into something much bigger and higher growth.
Because it does seem like, bottom line, it's all about how we make our region a better place for jobs, a better place for all the businesses that are here. And Tim, if folks wanted to learn about Centrifuge, your contact information is?
Email is just tim@centrifuge.com, spelled CINTRIFUSE.com.
For Business Wise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.